podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi guys, welcome to Full Time Devils. I am Adam McCullough. He is Laurie Whitwell from The Athletic, and this is Talking United with The Athletic. Now remember, before we go into this great conversation with Laurie, you can get a subscription with The Athletic. The link is in the description below, so get on it if you haven't already. You'll get a range of great articles about Manchester United, about Premier League football, about the world of football, and I even see there's like NFL and different things on there as well. So it's got loads on there. So make sure you're checking that out. But now that's out of the way, me and Laurie can have a chat. Welcome to Full Time Devils, Laurie. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm good. How's life been during the international break? It's been a little bit of a quiet one.
Yeah, no, different for me. I cover Wales as well for the paper, obviously with Ryan Giggs being there and Dan James, keep an eye on them. So I went down to Cardiff on Friday for the game against Azerbaijan. Close one, 2-1 win in the end, so Giggs was happy.
I saw Giggs out was actually trending.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think he deserves time and patience. I think the problem he had, obviously, was that some fans in Wales never quite took to him as a player, given all the pull-outs that sometimes he had, with Fergie being his manager. So I think they sort of fighting a little bit of a battle on that front anyway. And I suppose there's been a lot of time that he's had now, and some fans are wondering, you know, about the direction of the team. But then you look at the group, and you know, Azerbaijan held Croatia to a draw last night.
What a shit game yesterday!
Yeah,
the keeper was immense for Azerbaijan.
Right.
It could have been 3 or 4 nil to Croatia after the first 10 minutes, after Modric scored the penalty. But after that, they scored 2 goals which were disallowed for offside. And then they actually, the goal, did you see their goal?
No,
it was like Messi was running through there at one point. So the fact Wales beat them, it could be looked at as a good result.
I think, listen, if they win their home games, and then, you know, I think they need to go and win in Baku probably, maybe also get something out of the Slovakia game away, they've got a real good chance. Like, it's certainly not over.
Because they have got some tricky away games.
Yeah, they've still got to go. Well, they had Croatia-Hungary back-to-back in June away, which were obviously 2 losses, which is what prompted this kind of perhaps unease about Giggs. But I just think he's had a difficult run. He's not had Ramsey fit at all for any of this. Brooks is out still, trying to fit you know, his team into the right shape. You know, Bale, is he going to be a centre forward? I don't think that's exactly where he wants to be playing. So it's difficult. He's got a few different things to manage, but he's brought on quite a few players. Joe Roden played Swansea centre back. He looks really good on the ball. So he's brought him through. He's given a lot of debuts to players. So I don't know. I quite like what he's doing.
Daniel James scored a fantastic goal against Bulgaria as well. Mm. That was a friendly. Great goal for him, continuing his form for club and country. What has his international break been like? Do you think it's been good for him to kind of just maintain that level of performance?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the goal last night, I think, will only just, you know, keep his confidence sky high.
Similar to his goal against Southampton.
It's crazy, isn't it, that he's already seems to have got this sort of trademark goal where he, you know, from the left, shooting across goal. Obviously, that was the case against
the spirit of Robin,
Palace. Yeah, well, that was it. I've seen somebody say that. The check back in and curl. They've all been different finishes. I mean, the Southampton one was a bit of a smack, wasn't it, really? The Crystal Palace one was a curler, and then this one was so finessed.
It was placed. It was almost like he was holding the trigger button on the PlayStation.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, so I think, you know, I've been really impressed with the way he's taken to life at United, because he only had one season at Swansea. I didn't expect this kind of end product from him so soon.
£15 million as well, and it's hard to get that kind of the value in the market. Do you think, you know, at 21 years old, what can he go on and become? How is he regarded in Wales? Do they see him as someone that can go on to the heights of Bale or Giggs, or is there not that kind of hype around him?
No, I think with his pace, you've always got that edge to him. You know, he can, you know, obviously destroy defences if they give him too much space, if he gets one-on-one with them. So that is a high potential ceiling that he's got there. And as you say, he's only 21. You speak to so many people and everybody comes back with the opinion that he's humble, that he works hard, that he's improving his game. Technically, maybe he has a little bit more to do, but then again, you know, he's in the right place to improve. You know, it would be around world-class players at United, whereas he had one season at Swansea who were really good at bringing him on. But I think that will just accelerate United even further. I'm really excited by him. I think the fact that United got him for that much money is a real bargain.
Takes the pressure off him as well a little bit. I know footballers say they don't care about transfer fees, and I'm sure some love it when they go for huge fees because it enhances their reputation. Mm. But coming in without that huge fee takes the pressure off him a bit as well.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Solskjaer sort of talked about that and said, listen, maybe he's never going to be a £70 million player, which, you know, kind of, again, just takes the pressure off. You know, it doesn't... I don't think he was expected to have this kind of impact, but obviously United are happy because if he hadn't had this kind of impact, you know, you kind of do fear for the actual results, albeit some of the performances have been better than the results. But I think it's a real good option to have. I think on the left seems to be his preference. I know he started on the right in his first game, but it seems that ability to cut in and finish is a real attribute for him.
He seems to fit in with, like, I know there's a lot of doom and gloom around United at the moment, but we even look at Mason Greenwood, played for the 21s against Turkey. I know he didn't score, but a lot of people said he changed the game for them when he came on. He came on when they were losing 2-1, when it changes around. There is a lot of exciting young players. There are a lot of exciting young players coming through at United, and Mason's another one of them as well. What have you made of him during this international break? Do you think the step up has been good for him to the 21s?
Yeah, so I was at the game in Hull last night. He came on for the last 30 minutes. Didn't really have anything to do. He sort of had a couple of efforts from sort of range that we've seen him as the one at Southampton, you know, from range, that kind of curling effort. Obviously, both feet he's really good with. Spoke to Adi Boothroyd afterwards, who thought that he was sure that he wanted to bring him into the 21s, even though he's only 17. It feels like a really good...
Is there any discussion that goes on with the club over that decision, or
I don't know. I would have thought no. I think just England probably would have just said, you know, this is where we want to call him up to. Maybe, you know, he might have sounded out some people. I must admit, I don't actually know. But I think just because he's coming on for United every week, he's obviously of that level. Mm. He's had a great season in the age groups last season, scored a lot of goals. So I think Boothroyd just wanted to see what he was like in the 21s. Listen, maybe he could drop back down if they thought that was best for him in future, but. I think, given his start to the season, it was, you know, made sense for him to come with them.
There's obviously a lot of excitement around Greenwood. I think when people talk about him, they talk about him as a generational talent in his age group. With the added pressure that's maybe placed on him this season at United, with the lack of depth we have up top, does he strike you as someone that will rise to that? Is not too fussed by it? Like what do you think about him as a...
You hear that he's a pretty driven individual. Not somebody that particularly pays much attention to outside pressures. He's a natural footballer, so I think the most the place he feels most at ease is on the pitch. Certainly know that I think he wants to play more football. Last season, for example, he was playing every week, playing 90 minutes. This season, a bit of a different for him. Obviously, coming off the bench, I think he wanted to play, for example, in the EFL trophy game against Rotherham, but they said, listen, you're going to be in the squad.
It's kind of just like you have to just hold him back a little bit.
And obviously it's strange, I suppose, that he's only 17 and already we're sort of looking at him as somebody that can contribute to United's first team, and maybe that over the course of the season that will show, you know, with experience
with Tahith Chong and Angel Gomez. We've seen them drop down, come back up, be involved in match day squads, not, but he's pretty much just stayed in that. Do you think he's the one that is kind of set as a first team squad member almost?
I think
now,
probably already, yeah, just because, you know, how highly he's rated. You listen to Solskjaer talk about him every time he speaks about him, he sort of, you know, waxes lyrical, and I guess from a striker to another striker, you know, he's got that.
Did he call him the best finisher at the club?
He called him the most natural finisher.
The most natural,
I know it's probably similar kind of vibe, but it's a small distinction because the question was, out of Rashford and Martial, who's the better? who's the most natural finisher? And Solskjaer said it's Greenwood, which I suppose you can still... That is evident because he's so young and he's producing those finishes, you know, as we saw against Inter, wasn't it? The one in pre-season that just, you know, no thought to it, just struck it so cleanly. So I'm excited. I think I like what Solskjaer's doing in bringing through youth, giving them a pathway. That was, I think, the idea behind letting Sanchez go. It obviously got to a point where it wasn't a happy arrangement there. So whilst it might look like there isn't enough depth there, and maybe that will still prove to be the case, at least it means that you've got the likes of Greenwood having an opportunity to play more.
See, the Sanchez thing, I kind of, from the outside looking in with no knowledge of what goes on behind closed doors whatsoever, I felt that was more of a, we'd rather not have him around the squad kind of thing, if we're going to pay his wages for him to go. Do you get Do you have any insight on that? What kind of player he was or person he was around? Was he good to be around? Like, was he bad to be around?
Well, that's it. So we did a piece on this on The Athletic, and you do speak to people, and from at the end of Arsenal, for example, you get some quite critical comments about the fact he was a bit of a loner, didn't really associate with other people, would kind of keep to himself after games, would be kind of a bit annoyed if he had not scored but the team had won, and vice versa. If he'd scored but the team had lost, he would be okay.
That's not always, oh well, when losing, but yeah. I mean, when your team wins and you don't score, many strikers get
that. Yeah,
but
yeah.
The other flip reverse. And I heard a lot of things like that with Arsenal as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just interesting that United were happy to pay his wages for him to play elsewhere. And I know we weren't paying all of his wages, but with just such a lack of depth,
yeah.
I just felt there must be something else that we're not seeing.
Well, I think it's that idea that you've got this guy on a load of money that is he going to be in the squad? Is he going to be happy at not being in the squad? If, for example, Mason Greenwood, is that going to be a productive?
Was it true
atmosphere?
About a bus stop in there training with them? Not.
I don't know. I mean, United. I think United said no. I don't know if there's any kind of got to a point of an actual bus stop. You know, maybe there's a robust conversation. You can well picture that, can't you? But. I don't.
That happens in training, up and down the country.
Personally,
every day, though,
I have not any information to that end. Just the fact that it became a sort of fractious atmosphere with him, and the cleanest thing to do was go out on loan. You know, Inter wanted him, he wanted to go. Let that happen. You know, he's not there anymore now. So players, I think certain players were pointing to his wages in terms of the contract negotiations and saying, well, he's on this amount of money. Now he's not there, and they've said, listen, that's not part of what we want to do anymore.
You see no way back for him.
I just don't see, you know, I mean, I know he's got 2 years, I think 2 years left on his contract next summer, which is crazy, really.
2 years and about 300 million.
well, that's it. You wonder how that then gets resolved.
Yeah.
You know, if it's going to be the case that, I think Solskjaer's made his mind up that he doesn't want him, he doesn't feel like he adds to the squad, he'd rather go a different way, which is totally understandable. Solskjaer's still there. I don't see how that gets resolved.
Same question for Smalling. Do you see a future for...
Yeah,
because he kind of was like, if it goes well here, I might.
Yeah,
stay here.
No, I can see that. There's an appeal there, isn't there? Rome, it's, you know, great city. Serie A, different experience for him. I think similar. I was under the impression that, you know, Rojo, Jones, and Smalling were all sort of available, depending on who wanted them. And Roma were the ones that came with the best sort of offer. You know, I mean, I'm told they're taking all of his wages for the whole year. So, you know, that's at least something for United to, you know, benefit from.
More money off the wage bill.
Yeah.
We have. Brought that down quite a lot this summer. Herrera going, Fellaini going in January, Sanchez is half or whatever it is, wages off it, Lukaku is off it. Mm. And the players we brought in, they're not the kind of players that demand massive wages. Do you think that is, we're going to see maybe a bit more added to that now with David De Gea? Are we closer to a contract?
Yeah, it's difficult to say. I mean, I hear conflicting things. You know, I was under the impression that he might be open to sort of seeing what happens in January. You know, obviously he can start talking to European clubs in that end. But then people close to him say they know it's almost done. You know, I imagine that it's been almost done for a while now. So the delay is just confusing. You know, if you're going to sign.
I bumped into him in a lift in Singapore. And we walked up to him and we went, so have you signed or what? And he just didn't budge, didn't twitch, didn't do anything.
Wow.
So he's got a very strong
resolve,
poker face.
Yeah.
If that's, I know I'm not, you know, the biggest, greatest interrogator, but he just kept a stern face, and I was like, oh, he's giving nothing away. And I know his form's not great. Is Moreno come out and defended him this week and said, you know, he's still trusting him, but there has been a little bit of a dip in form, and you do worry, is that the contract? Is it a decline in just him? Is it difficult to keep that level up? Do you have a personal opinion on?
No, it's tough. I think you pick on a good point that clearly the contract negotiations might have played a part. You know, is his mind fully focused on United? It's you know, lots of things go into a player's mentality when they're on that pitch. But I suppose, yeah, listen, he's been the best player, obviously voted the best player 4 out of 6 years or maybe more.
I think he's been the one constant apart from the last 12 months since Fergie left.
Yeah. So he's been dependent. People have been depending on him for a long time. And I guess that can take its toll, even though he's only 28. You know, I certainly think the goalkeeping coach situation is interesting. Obviously, they brought Richard Hartis in over the summer, which I don't think was originally part of the plan. But I guess they wanted to...
He's good mates with Emilio, isn't it? Is it Emilio?
Yeah, Emilio Alvarez. Alvarez. Yeah, yeah. So he was brought in when Mourinho was still here. And I think, listen, maybe that seemed like a good way of showing United, showing De Gea that United cared about him, wanted to make his life in Manchester comfortable. But obviously, maybe they also feel like they need, you know, a head of coaching above that you know, drives it a different direction. You know, you can't always have people as your friends necessarily coaching you. I guess you want a bit of creative friction, don't you? So I don't know. I certainly know he's, you know, he works obviously very hard on his game. I think the Palace one, the near post, we did an article on The Athletic where, you know, a goalkeeper talk us through why that actually wasn't the howling error that it looked like.
Because from the stands, I saw that and I thought, because we were trying to attack at that point, he just had one eye looking up, didn't really expect us to be on the receiving end and just took his eye off the ball. But what did someone that's in a much more...
Well, yeah, so that I kind of agree with you on that, and just you hear this, shouldn't be beating at your near post thing. He was just saying that when the shot was taken, it was so close to the body, and that is actually the worst place for a goalkeeper to have it, rather than sort of a bit out.
But he is usually very good with his...
Yeah, they said, so apparently his legs were slightly differently positioned to the save that he made against Ross Barkley against Chelsea. Just slightly more, I think, wider. So therefore, you know, the ball...
He was more planted, so he couldn't...
Yeah, couldn't move as much. And the trajectory of the ball, just, it was one of those... I mean, it was a good hit. And clearly, you're saving that still. But the point of the piece was that it wasn't as bad as it perhaps looked. I mean, perhaps, you know, the one thing I might look at is the Vestergaard header. Should De Gea come for that 6 yards out? Okay, you want your centre-back to be winning headers, but then again, Lindelof has shown that in the air he's susceptible. Should a goalkeeper command his 6-yard box a bit more? That's perhaps one sort of area for
that is one thing that I've noticed about his game, even when he used to have his hard times.
Yeah.
He doesn't always look to commit to that, and that's why you do someone like Maguire in there. It's obviously great, but Lindelof needs to get better. There's two duels, important duels, his last in recent weeks, which have cost us points, unfortunately. Looking ahead towards Manchester United and Leicester, now before we started talking in front of the camera today, you mentioned that boy Tony Marshall. He was injured. Is he going to be available for the game?
The sounds are that he is, but it's difficult to say. I mean, I've actually not got any confirmation on that, but it sounded like it wasn't a major injury when he did it, so you hope that it's okay.
Would he have been in the France squad?
I've sprung that on me. I don't actually know. I would imagine so.
Because Deschamps is a little bit...
Unusual, isn't he?
Laporte isn't in
the France
squad. Lacazette wasn't either, was he?
I'm not sure. Do they still call on Giroud? I mean,
Giroud plays.
Yeah.
But I think Lacazette wasn't selected.
Right.
And Benzema's always struggled to get in for whatever reasons as well.
Yeah. It's a funny, he does make some odd decisions. I don't know. I don't know. But you hope with a couple of weeks out that he's recuperated.
Well, you've spoken to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and I know we're going a little bit back now. Because it's been a while since he got his number 9 shirt back. But you spoke to Ali about that.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued to see what kind of work is going on between those guys, Rashford, Martial, Mason and Ali. And does Ali see Martial as his number 1, number 9 now? Is it Rashford? What did Southgate call Rashford this week? A wide...
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact term, but he basically said that, he didn't actually feel like number 9 was... his best role, and Rashford didn't think that either.
Do you think Ollie's the same thought?
I think so, yeah. I think Martial's his number 9 that he would start if he's fit every week. Rashford has that pace down the wing and has that ability to cut in, cut back. And I think that he personally feels that he has more to offer in that channel as well. I sort of looked at the way that they interlinked at Wolves. I thought that worked really well. I mean, obviously Rashford crossed for Martial and he should have scored really in the far post. Certainly Solskjaer views Martial as his number 9. That's why he's giving him the shirt back. I think that was a conscious decision by him to sort of give him a bit of a confidence boost. It's sort of classic kind of managerial man management, isn't it? That after sort of he got pushed to the side when Zlatan came in. I would love for him to have a massive season. You know, you've kind of been waiting these few years. You forget the excitement.
I felt
excitement
like that was his season when we brought in Sanchez. That was the season of Martial becoming that player. And halfway through the season, 10 goals, double figures for assists, and you're thinking he's going to go on now. Then you've got the World Cup. He would have been a World Cup winner maybe, and that was the moment, but hopefully now...
He didn't score after that. Sanchez, he got dropped out of the team. Sanchez came in. He didn't score.
I know full well because I was sitting there thinking, why isn't he playing?
So I would love for him to have a big season because I think he's got that quality. You think back to when he made his debut against Liverpool, that goal, the excitement that he brings with him. If he can get back to that,
did Ali touch on any targets that he's saying?
Not, I don't think so. He basically, well, he wanted him to score more scrappy goals. You know, he said, listen, if you can get five of them a season, so he set a target, five scrappy goals a season, which obviously hasn't been Rashford or Martial's, you know, particular strength, sensing where to go. Sterling has made a brilliant last couple of seasons out of knowing where to run and providing the tapping. There's obviously a skill to that, as easy as it looks. So that's what Solskjaer wants to bring out of those two.
Martial's goal, was it against Chelsea where he was in and around the 6-yard box where he just got the finish?
That was
the kind of one you wouldn't see. But then against Wolves later, he wasn't keen enough to get on the end of that Rashford ball. But then when he slipped through, he smashes it in and you're just thinking, he's such an incredible finisher in front of goal. I feel like what Rashford does well, Martial doesn't do enough in terms of his movement.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes in between the lines, he could be a little bit better, a little bit on his toes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whereas Rashford isn't the best in front of goal, Martial is just cool, calm and such a killer. And it's an interesting mix just to see how they're going to grow together. Because if Martial sometimes pulls out and he's standing next to Rashford and you're thinking, who's in the box? Like right now, I want to see one of these guys be... Like we were talking about earlier, one of those strikers that is really angry when they don't score and their team wins, because I just like... Remember Rude was just, I haven't scored, we've won 5-0, this is rubbish, like get me out. It was, that's what I wanted to see from my strikers, and it'd be great if Martial could get that in his system. Anything else that you want to add or anything that we should look forward to in the Athletic coming up? Remember, you can get it. The link is in the description below if you've not signed up yet. I've signed up as well. Be reading loads of different articles to anything coming up.
Well, we'll do so obviously I'm at the Leicester game on Saturday, and we'll do I think we'll do a little bit of Vardy versus Maguire. Obviously they know each other from Leicester and they're good friends, so that'd be quite fun, just having a look at their relationship. So yeah, maybe have a look at that and see how Maguire might cope with Vardy's pace and what Vardy might try and do to get the better of Maguire.
I've seen a clip of Maguire getting absolutely done by Jadon Sancho this week, which was wasn't the greatest thing to see, but we'll be all right if Jadon's at United wearing our number 7 shirt next year.
Certainly interest,
That would be nice. If I had to say De Gea signing a contract, Larry Whitwell from The Athletic,
don't put me on the spot,
is he going to sign one before the end of the year? Because he can speak to clubs in January.
Yeah, no, exactly. I would have said no, you know, a couple of days ago. I've slightly changed my tune after conversations yesterday, so I'm sitting on the fence, I'm sorry.
See, I feel now that Sanchez is gone, like you're saying, we may find it easier. I feel the whole Sanchez thing, maybe it's made Pogba think, you know, what's he doing? I probably deserve more money. De Gea the same. Herrera probably, once he gets PSG in his ear and then he's got Sanchez there, he's thinking, I don't need this, I need more money. So I can see why that has caused issues. Another few good articles as well, non-United related. Check out the one on throw-ins at Liverpool. I found interest. If you're a fan of football and just weird things, the throw-in coach one's good. The Stephen Ireland interview is good as well. And also, from a United perspective, the Vidic interview with Andy Mitten's great as well. And make sure you're checking out Laurie's work on the weekend from United against Leicester. You got a prediction for the game? It's a tough one.
It's a real tough one, you know, and I like what Leicester do. I'd love to say United win, but I can see it being a score draw again. It's going to be tough, that one.
We've got a tough run of fixtures coming up as
Depends who's fit, I suppose, obviously, with Wan-Bissaka and Lingard as well. Sort of injury doubts. I'm non-committal on lots of things.
Wan-Bissaka returned from international duty, right?
Yeah, back injury.
From carrying our defence, probably. Wow. Apart from Maguire, but it'd be interesting. I'm worried by that game as well.
They're a proper team, Leicester. Yeah, Rodgers has got them playing well. You know, you saw them against Bournemouth. They're a team that seem to know what they're about. I mean, Tielemans was one I was surprised that United didn't try for, because
I feel like something was in that with the Maguire. I felt like they probably said,
leave off Tielemans, we can have Maguire.
You can get Maguire.
So maybe you could be right.
Because those
there.
Things might not happen in writing, but gentlemen's agreements.
Yeah.
But Madison, I think he's going to turn it on the weekend.
well, try and get this his platform, isn't it? Yeah, to make a statement. Again, I really like him. You know, perhaps not the most up and down midfielder, but then you don't need to be when you've got that kind of delivery that he's got, the sort of creativity and the vision on the pitch.
Wouldn't mind Madison Sancho next summer. Yeah, guys, let us know what you're thinking in the comments below and everything we discussed today. And this video will be a regular one as well. So if you have a question for Laurie, who will be on regularly, maybe not every week, but someone from The Athletic will be, then get in a question below for them. Make sure you click in the link to subscribe to The Athletic. You on Twitter or anything like that?
Yeah, just at Laurie Whitwell.
Get on that as well. And for now, we're out of here. Podcast Network.